When the unexpected happens, they provide critical, often life-saving care. So we're discussing trauma services. Our guest is Brody Eich, a registered nurse and director of trauma services for Eisenhower Health. This is Living Well with Eisenhower Health, healthcare as it should be. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joey Waller. Hi there, Brody. Welcome.
Thanks, Joey. Nice to be here.
Great to have you. Appreciate the time. So first, Eisenhower Health's emergency department is a designated level 4 trauma center. So for those unfamiliar, what exactly does that mean in a nutshell, and how many levels of trauma centers are there?
So we are, as you said, a designated level 4 trauma center. It kind of varies across the country. Typically, you have 4 levels. Some states have 5 levels, but typically the standard is you have a level 1, which is the highest level of trauma, and then you have your level 4. So as we started out as a brand new trauma center, we started from the bottom, which is your level 4. And typically your level 4 trauma centers across the board would normally be a very rural trauma center that is serving a population that maybe doesn't have access to a larger trauma center, except for maybe 30 minutes to an hour away. We are kind of in a unique situation that we have most of the specialties we would need to advance, but you kind of have to learn to walk before you run. So we will start as a level 4, which means we can treat critically injured patients. We have transfer agreements with other facilities for specialty care, such as pediatrics or burn. And then if for some reason we feel that the patient is too severely injured, that they would need to go to a higher level of care, then we would transfer them to a higher level trauma center.
Gotcha. So what does it take to be, say, a level 1 trauma center? And what do the different levels mean to the public? You mentioned, obviously, it has mainly to do with the services that are available. But what's most important for the average person to know about that, generally speaking? For instance, you mentioned at your place, you can do a lot of higher level stuff, right?
Correct. Yeah. So typically, your level 1 trauma center is your tertiary trauma center that is affiliated with some sort of a medical school, or they have residency, so they're an academic medical center. They have 24/7 coverage of certain specialties. That's one thing that currently, one of the reasons we are building is we don't have that 24/7 coverage. We may have every specialty you need to be a level 1, but currently we don't have that coverage overnight for certain specialties that it requires. So your level 1, they also include research and a residency. When you get to your level 2 trauma center, that's typically a trauma center that can clinically be identical to a level 1, but most likely they're not affiliated with a medical school, or they don't have a residency, or they haven't had to, or don't have a research scientist, so they don't do as much research as a level 1. So there's really only one difference between a level 1 and level 2, and that's typically research in a residency program. Once you hit that level 3, level 4, then you get into, typically they're lacking certain services. And one of those is normally neurosurgery. Level 3s don't typically have neurosurgery. They may have trauma surgery, which can do a little bit of everything. That you always typically have orthopedic surgery, but usually lacking neurosurgery, which is one thing that we are excelling at right now. We have a new neurosurgery group that is very, very good, very aggressive, very innovative. So they've really helped kind of up the game of Eisenhower Health in our trauma program, because now we will not transfer out any neurosurgical trauma, regardless of kind of the acuity.
So it sounds like there's definitely room for growth when we talk about moving up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting and a lot of work.
It sounds like it's a little bit of both. So just to back up kind of a half step here, how, in fact, is an emergency room, any emergency room for that matter, that's a trauma center different than one that's not? What are some of those basic services that you offer?
It's mostly surgical. Trauma is considered a surgical specialty. Any emergency room should be able to manage just about any life-threatening condition. So you have your emergency room physicians that are specialists in emergency airways, cardiac arrests, strokes, heart attacks. once you kind of cross that line into trauma, the difference is you will have surgeons that could come down, and if you are critically injured in a trauma, like a car accident. I come from Ohio, and Ohio, we had a lot of farming accidents. So those tend to be surgical issues. And so your non-trauma emergency room typically would not have that surgeon that could come down and help. So they would do what they needed to do to stabilize you, try and resuscitate you as much as they can. And then they would always transfer you out either by ground or air to a trauma center. As where a emergency room that is designated and verified as a trauma center, then you would have a trauma surgeon that's specialized in that specialty of the emergent surgery. And they would be able to take those patients up to the OR and open their belly, open their chest, whatever we need to do to try and stop the bleeding. That's typically the most likely cause of death in trauma is bleeding and hemorrhage. So one of the biggest pushes across the country in trauma is stop the bleed. And then whether we can manage them in the ICU or not, sometimes that's the decision maker on whether we would have to transfer them out. And that's kind of back to that level of trauma center. Luckily, we have a really high acuity intensive care unit, and we have great ICU nurses, docs, and directors. So they are very eager and willing and constantly learning, and so that we can manage most of these patients at our facility as long as the surgeon is comfortable managing them as well.
And speaking of which, you led me beautifully into my next question. What, if any, special training is involved for those doctors and nurses in a trauma center?
Every physician that is involved in the resuscitation of a trauma patient, which would be your emergency room physicians, your residents, and your trauma surgeons, have to take a national certification called Advanced Trauma Life Support. And in healthcare in general, in the ER, in the ICU, all of your doctors and your nurses have to have ACLS, which pretty much tells you how to run a medical cardiac arrest. And ATLS is just that same thing, more advanced and from trauma. So every physician has to take ATLS. Every nurse has to take a nurse-driven version of that class. So it's called either TNCC, which is Trauma Nursing Core Curriculum, or ATCM, which is Advanced Trauma Course for Nurses. So they all have that specialized education. And then for a trauma surgeon, they've done a general surgery residency. They will do a fellowship in either trauma surgical critical care, which would be another 2 to 3 years post-residency, to be able to be a trauma surgeon. And that shows them that they know how to manage those critically injured patients that end up in the ICU but are more surgical and less medical. Is where you have your ICU, that someone that's in diabetic ketoacidosis or they've had a medical cardiac arrest, those would go to your regular ICU, but our traumas would go to the surgical ICU, and then your surgeons have to be able to manage them at that high level of care. So they have a lot of advanced training in how to do what we call damage control surgery, which sometimes that's just a matter of going in, opening a belly. If it's a spleen or a liver, they can pack it to try and stop the bleeding. They'll actually leave the belly open, put them in the ICU, let the swelling go down, try and resuscitate them to where they're much more stable, and then they would take them back to the OR and close that belly. So that's something that your medical ICU doctors would not typically do, and vice versa. So they usually collaborate quite a bit, but the specialized training is pretty intense for trauma surgeons.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. So what's your role as director of the trauma center?
So I have oversight over the entire trauma program. So budgeting, the FTEs, the nursing side of things. I do have a trauma medical director that is kind of my role from a physician standpoint. We work very closely, very hand in hand. I am also in charge of all of the performance improvement, which with trauma is massive because any potential injury, infections, we have to be able to track and trend these to see if there's something happening. Are we getting blood to the patient too late? Was there a surgical site infection? So I have a nurse that works underneath of me and with me, and we review every single chart to make sure the care was appropriate. There's certain metrics that we have to meet, timing metrics. And so we have to meet those 80%+ of the time for all of our traumas. I help develop all the policies, procedures, education. We do a lot of injury prevention. and community outreach education, as well as working with our pre-hospital providers, our flight nurses, flight crews, the medics, and then our fire and EMS partners to make sure that they know how to treat trauma patients at the scene and that they know how to get that trauma patient to the appropriate facility in the appropriate time.
Switching gears a little bit, Brody, how about the difference between a trauma center's designation and verification, and what agency is actually responsible for each of those?
The verification part is easy. There's an organization called the American College of Surgeons. They are the professional organization for any surgical specialty, so oncology, GI, anything that surgical is blanketed under that. And then they also have a little subset called the COT, the Committee on Trauma. So they kind of put out what we call the Trauma Bible, and it's a book of standards. And they really just say, if you want to be a trauma center, you have to meet these certain metrics, these certain criteria. So you can be designated and not verified, and you can be verified and not designated, because typically verification is a national thing and your designation comes from a local designating body. California, we are run by our EMS agencies. So here we have the Riverside EMS Agency, or RIMSA, and they will actually designate us as a trauma center before we would become verified. So they first designated us as a level 4 trauma center, because currently the American College of Surgeons does not verify below a level 3. So we are currently only state designated. Here within the next, hopefully, year and a half, we will be going through our verification process with the ACS. Then we would be both designated and verified at a national level. Certain states like Pennsylvania, Illinois, they actually don't use the ACS. They just do state designation, but they take the same standards as the ACS and actually add to them. So it's pretty standardized across the board on what a trauma center has to do to become trauma center, but certain states you have to do both, some states you do one versus the other. So it really kind of varies.
Couple of other things. Say you're en route to an emergency room and you're alert enough to make this decision. Can a patient request to go to a different trauma center than where the EMS initially plans on taking them? And along with that, can any adult or child be treated at any trauma center?
So absolutely, as far as requesting, the patient can request. Now, the little catch-22 is there are certain injuries the EMS has to take to a higher level trauma center. Here in the Valley, that would be Desert Regional. So if they have an injury that EMS knows, or any trauma has to call Desert Regional as the highest level and say, this is what we have. And then Desert would say, okay, you can go to Eisenhower, you can go to JFK, or you need to come to us. So there's certain things that you could request, but it would probably be safer to go to a higher level trauma center as because of the specialty. But like you said, if say you fall, you hit your head, you kind of know where you are, maybe you're bleeding from your forehead a little bit, you got knocked out, and you say, I really want to go to Eisenhower, they can do what they call an AMA, which sounds bad because in the hospital, we consider AMA means you're leaving against a physician's advice, but you can AMA from Desert Regional, meaning you say, no, I want to go to Eisenhower. They would have you sign a paper just saying, we wanted to take you to Desert, but you're wanting to go to Eisenhower, and you sign that paper, and then they bring you to us. Worst case scenario would be that you come to us, we do everything, we assess you, we resuscitate you, we do what we need to do, we treat you. And if we find that you have an injury that our physicians or our surgeons feel needs to be at a higher level, then we would just transfer you over there. And then as far as the adults and pediatrics, typically Loma Linda is our only pediatric trauma center in two counties, San Bernardino and Riverside. We are hoping to work towards bringing some trauma care here to the desert. But yes, pediatrics can be initially treated just about any trauma center. They just typically won't be admitted unless that trauma center has like a pediatric floor, pediatric ICU, pediatric physicians. So peds and adults can be initially treated and resuscitated at a adult trauma center if they don't have quick access to a peds trauma center. However, adults do not go to a pediatric trauma center, if that makes sense. So Loma Linda Children's Hospital, Granted, that's different because they have the two hospitals side by side. But in Ohio, we had Nationwide Children's Hospital, and they would occasionally get an adult dropped off outside of their ER, and they would call us immediately and say, hey, we're going to bring them in, we're going to stabilize and ship them to you. But for pediatrics, we could potentially take a pediatric patient to the OR and do damage control surgery and then transfer them to Loma Linda if we needed to. But yes, so most of the time, a pediatric patient can be treated at any trauma center.
Understood. Okay. In summary here, what would you say is most rewarding about helping save lives on a daily basis? Because let's face it, that's what you and yours are doing oftentimes, right?
Yeah. I've been a nurse for 20 years and I've always worked in trauma. And from day one, it's one of the only specialties that someone can come in broken. You can fix them and watch them walk out. You ask any nurse that's worked in trauma for a long time and they will always have those certain cases. Some are really bad and some are really good and they will always remember them. Typically, if you work in trauma, you like the adrenaline because you never know what you're going to get. You could be sitting there having coffee, feeling like, oh man, I'm kind of bored. And then all of a sudden you get a call and saying, hey, we've got a multi-vehicle collision with six patients that are coming in with multiple amputations. And so you have to flip a switch and jump into that mode of focus and we got to do what we got to do. So I don't know that I could ever do anything besides the critical care, trauma, and emergency medicine because it just fits my personality. But there's nothing more rewarding than when you get to see someone walk out of the hospital that you weren't really sure was going to make it. And you see them leave with their family, especially when they're young kids, young guys. We see that all the time in trauma and motorcycles and four-wheelers. And young guys tend to do dumb things sometimes. And so when you see these young guys walk out with their wives and their kids, and they're so thankful and grateful, and it just makes you realize that what you do actually does make a difference. And so it's probably one of the most rewarding specialties I've been a part of in healthcare.
Yeah, I can definitely hear the passion in your voice. Well, folks, we trust you're now more familiar with trauma services. Brody, keep up all your great work, and thanks so much again.
Hey, thank you so much, Joey. I appreciate you having me on.
Same here. And for more information, please visit EisenhowerHealth.org/emergency. And if you found this podcast helpful, please do share it on your social media. I'm Joey Waller. Thanks again for being part of Living Well with Eisenhower Health, healthcare as it should be.